Today's Mass, we celebrate the external solemnity of Our Lady of the Rosary, which is actually tomorrow, but we have the privilege of being able to celebrate it at Mass today. The epistle is taken from the book of Proverbs. The Lord begot me, the firstborn of his ways, the forerunner of his prodigies of long ago. From of old I was poured forth at the first before the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. So now, O children, listen to me. Happy are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Happy the man who obeys me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. He who finds me finds life and wins favor from the Lord. The gospel is taken from that of St. Luke. At that time, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel had come to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." When she heard him, she was troubled at his word and kept pondering what manner of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace with God. Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he shall be king over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom shall have no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How shall this happen, since I do not know man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. And therefore the Holy One to be born shall be called Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your kinswoman, also conceived a son in her old age. And she who is called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing shall be impossible with God." But Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In 1955, an event happened in the world. It was an event that never happened before and will never happen again. It was unprecedented. At the time, in 1955, it was the height of the Cold War. The tension between, of course, Communist Russia and the West. And in 1955, the Soviet Union decided to withdraw unilaterally from Austria. Now, many historians, when they talk about this, it's just given a line in the history books. It's not talked too much about. Or when it is talked about, they struggle to explain why, because this has never happened before. When communist Russia would occupy a country, they would not leave easily. There would usually be wars or tensions, or what we call proxy wars, where the United States is funneling arms to some kind of partisan rebellion within the country. But this didn't happen in Austria. Now, if we remember, that after World War II, Austria was partitioned, just like Germany. Remember that Germany, there was East Germany and West Germany, and then the capital of Germany, Berlin itself, was then divided up into a Russian sector and then an American sector, a British sector, and a French sector. Austria, the same thing happened to it. It was divided also. There was a Western Austria, which was under the Allied powers, and then Eastern Austria. And Vienna was in the middle of that eastern part, the capital of Austria, and it was divided into various sectors also. And Austria then was the same as Germany. So remember, it was part of Germany. And so, for some reason, in 1955, the Russians, for whatever reason, and Historians aren't sure, and I shouldn't say for whatever reason, we know the reason. They left. Now, why did they leave? In 1945, right at the end of World War II, there was a priest. He was praying at the shrine of Maria Zell in Austria. This was a famous Marian shrine. It's not well known in the United States, but over 1 million people a year go to it. He was praying there on February 2nd, a feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the feast of the purification. And he heard a voice. And he said, "Do what I have asked. If you do what I have asked, then you will receive peace." And this priest knew exactly what the voice meant and who it was. He knew it was the Blessed Virgin Mary. And although she didn't ask anything of him there, he knew exactly what she was referring to. She was referring to Fatima, the famous apparition in 1917 in Portugal. The Blessed Virgin Mary appeared, talked about the errors of Russia and how they would spread, and then said that in order to fight this, that we are to do three things. We are to refrain from sin, because as she said, God is very much already offended by our sins, and that we should stop sinning. That we should do penance for our sins, and that we should pray, especially pray the rosary. And so he took that and he began to promote the rosary as a way of peace, as a way of peace for their country. And in the beginning it was very small, it would just be on small parish levels and things like that, where they would be able to get together and pray the rosary. And then eventually, over the years, it began to grow to the point where they would have public rosaries and 500,000 people would attend these. It'd be rosary rallies where they do a procession and the rosary. People would be coming from Germany, people would be coming from Switzerland to do the rosary in Austria. Eventually, 1/10 of the population, that is about 600,000 people, Austria is a small country, by 1955, 1/10 of the population had signed a pledge to say the rosary every day. So 1/10 of the population was saying the rosary. And that's just the people who signed the pledge. There were a number of other people, of course, who were saying it regularly, but didn't, for whatever reason, didn't feel motivated to sign the pledge. And so by that point, then the really miraculous thing happened. The Chancellor of Austria, who was a Catholic and who would participate in these rosary rallies, was called to Moscow. And he had a meeting in the Kremlin. And that meeting occurred on May 13th, 1955. And he was informed by the heads of the Soviet Union that the Red Army would leave Austria and Austria would then be given its freedom to govern itself. Not as a satellite nation, but there were no strings attached. They were leaving. And the Chancellor, in his diary that night, knew exactly the reason why that occurred. For he knew what May 13th was. May 13th, of course, is the feast of Our Lady of Fatima, the anniversary of the first apparition in which she appeared to the little shepherd children. And he made that connection and he understood completely that that's what the motivation was. That was the cause. And the Red Army did leave Austria. Austria declared its neutrality, and actually Austria has had tremendous peace since that time. Now, the rosary is very important to us Catholics. This feast that we celebrate tomorrow, that we're doing the external solemnity to today, is the anniversary of a great battle, the Battle of Lepanto, where the Christian forces, the naval battle, where the Christian forces of the Holy League fought against the Turk, the Muslim forces, for control of the Mediterranean. Pope Pius V, Pope St. Pius V, asked all Christians to pray the rosary for this impending naval battle. And all the sailors, on the morning of the battle, prayed the rosary. And they had a great victory. And because of this, Pope Pius V instituted this feast, but it was called originally Our Lady of Victories, in order to recognize the fact that it was through her intercession that the victory was given. It was only later that the feast was named Our Lady of the Rosary, a few years later. And so Our Lady of the Rosary, the Feast of the Rosary, is the same as the Feast of Victory. Victory over the forces that are allied against us. And since that time, the Church has always asked us to pray the Rosary. But the Rosary has a special place among all of our Catholic devotions. Why is that? What is there special about the Rosary that these things would happen by it? It is because of the Blessed Virgin Mary's special place in our faith. Our Lady is, as we say, the mediatrix of all graces. Every grace that comes to us in a way because of Mary. So we have the Annunciation in today's reading, where the angel announces the coming Messiah. It says, you are to be the one to be the mother of the Messiah. God, he couldn't have done it. He could have chosen to do it another way, but he chose this way. He wanted to bring everything, all salvation, down to a single person and a single choice. The Blessed Virgin Mary. It was her free choice to say yes or no. To say yes to the Messiah or no. And the angel asked, she didn't understand, how can this be? The angel answered her, and then she gave her response. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Yes, let it be done. And because of that yes, then, Christ came into this world, and then Christ was able to bear our sins upon the cross and to redeem us all. But God established it so that it came down to that one question and that one response. And because of this, the Church calls her the mediatrix of all graces. Remotely, she's not directly involved, but in a remote way, because it was because of her yes that all graces then come into this world. But as Catholics, we believe in a secondary way in which she is the mediatrix of all graces. And that is her union with Christ upon the cross. Her union as she was at the foot of the cross. Through her love, she was united to Him. As a mother to a child, but so much more, her love was for her Son. And as He was crucified, the prophecy of Simeon came true, where he says, a sword shall pierce your own soul. And that transfixion happened at the foot of the cross, where her suffering was in perfect union with her Son. And because of that, we Catholics believe that Christ then gave to her those graces He won for her to distribute in union with the Holy Spirit. And so she is also sometimes termed the proximate mediatrix of all grace. One is remote because she kind of started it all through her yes. And then she also now distributes the graces with the Holy Spirit because she remained united to Christ her whole life through His passion, suffering, and death. And so because of this, devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary is different than any other devotion. Because it is through her, through God's free choice. God could have did it a different way, but He chose to do it this way. It's through her then that we receive graces. Therefore, when we pray to her, when we honor her, when we love her, and ask for those graces, then she is happy to distribute them. And of course, the greatest devotion to the Blessed Virgin is the Rosary. The Rosary is a series of scriptural meditations where we meditate on the mysteries, the Annunciation, the Visitation, the Nativity. And we're supposed to meditate on that and then do the Our Father and the Hail Mary. And remember, the Hail Mary is nothing more than a quote from Scripture, the quote of the, for the most part, the Annunciation, the angelic salutation, as it's called. Will we pray that while meditating upon the mystery? And in this way, we are united and we give honor to God's plan, to Our Lady. And then graces are then given to us. This great prodigy in Austria is just one way in which, for those who believe, it is undeniable that those graces were given through the intercession of the Rosary. The Blessed Virgin Mary promises that anyone who says the Rosary would receive signal graces. Anyone who is devoted to the Rosary would receive little signal graces. Maybe nothing as great as what happened in Austria, but in our own life, we'll get little graces, little special things that we know is a sign from God that this is a good thing, that this is coming through the Rosary. And for each of us, it will be something special, be something only for us. Many times when something happens to someone like this, a signal grace, they'll go and they'll tell their friend, they'll say, guess what just happened? And they'll explain the whole thing, and the person will just nod their head and think, oh, well, you know, it's just a coincidence. No, it's not a coincidence. It's a grace to show that my prayers are being heard. Just like some people would say, oh, well, it was just a coincidence that the Chancellor was called to the meeting on May 13th. These are signal graces given to us to help strengthen our faith. And so everyone, every Catholic, should be praying the Rosary. We should do it every day to honor our Mother. You know, she is the mediator of all graces, but that doesn't mean she's like the vice president of grace distribution, some cold, efficient title. No. She is our Mother. God established her as our Mother. He gave her to us at the foot of the cross. And she engages in her office there through love. She wants to do it for us. She has a great love for us. She wants to give it to us. And so we should pray the Rosary. Everyone. At home, there should be a family Rosary where there's a little meditation for the mysteries, and then the Hail Marys are said. Everyone should be doing this. We should honor Our Lady. There's a great number of difficulties in the world today. Some people look to Washington, D.C., and they know that no solution will be there. They say that maybe we need a regime change there. But many things are needed in the world. There is a need for prayer. We should pray the Rosary. Our Lady says, if you do what I ask, pray, do penance, and refrain from sin, then peace will be given. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.